Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Well, we're in week number two in a series that we're teaching here called The Power of a Dream. The Power of a Dream. The Power of a Dream. How many of you heard last week, week number one? If you didn't, you can go back and re-listen online or our podcast. Last week, we spoke on the journey of discovery out of Genesis chapter 37. And in this series, if you missed last week, I'm just going to kind of catch you up a little bit. We're going to be talking about restoring dreams, dreaming again after disappointment, what to do when you thought your dream has died. And last week, we talked about the journey of discovery. Today, we're going to be talking about a dream that drives you, a dream that drives you. And we're going to be jumping right back into Genesis chapter 37. We don't have the screen, so if you can flip there real quick, Genesis 37, 1. If you don't have your Bible, pull out your iPhone, get the Bible app. It's awesome. I prefer the pages, but Genesis chapter 37, verse 1 through 5, it says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. And this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." Boy, jealousy is a dangerous thing. "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more." Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Oh, let me read it to you one more time. "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more." Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Joseph was 17 years old when God gave him an earth-shaking, transforming dream. 17 years old. You know, one of the fascinating things about Scripture is when we read it and we have no historical context, we kind of read it through the coloring books in children's church, and that's our mentality of how we interpret the Scriptures. And so oftentimes when we were kids and we had Bible coloring books, we'd see Peter and James and John, and they were these older men with beards and, you know, kind of like, you know, in middle age, you know, when Jesus called them. But that's not the truth. Actually, scholars and historians can show you that the disciples were 21 years of age and younger when Jesus called them into the ministry. Peter would have been the oldest at 21. John would have been the youngest at 15. Think about that. Think about that and how Jesus did youth ministry compared to how we do youth ministry. When Jesus wasn't pulling out the Xbox and the video games and trying to draw a crowd with fun tricks and gimmicks and the light show, Jesus walked along and said, "Come follow me and I'll make you a fisherman of men." And a 15-year-old could respond, and a 21-year-old heart's leapt. And there's something about the purity in this age span. And Joseph was 17 years old when God trusted him with an earth-shaking, transforming dream. God showed Joseph his future or a dream. And this caused Joseph to wake up just a little bit different every morning. This caused him to wake up with a little bit of different focus, a different mindset, a different attitude, because he had a dream. You know, George Bernard Shaw said this. He said, "A dream of things that never were and ask the question, why not?" Dream things that never were and ask the question, why not? Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the, well, that's arguably, some people would argue that. He's the first man that patented the telephone, Alexander Graham Bell. But he had a dream and he asked the question, why not? Why can't I talk to somebody else in their home while I'm in my home? He asked that question, why not? Then somebody years later, they asked another question. Why not? When they thought up the rotary phone. You remember the rotary phone? You had to spin that mug all the way around and wait till it zipped backwards, then hit it again. My grandma still has a rotary phone in her house. I think it's kind of awesome. And then, you know, the person that admitted that said, why not? And then somebody else came along and they said, you know, remember back in the early 80s when you had the corded phone that was like, they made it extra long so that you can talk on the phone and walk way over here and cook at the same time and have it up to your ear. You know, and you, by the time you'd be spun around, you'd have that cord wrapped all the way around you. Somebody asked the question, why not? I could remember when the cordless phone came out. And everybody thought that was amazing. Had the big long antenna. I mean, it was real big and you'd talk on it in your house. Somebody asked the question, why not? You remember when the first cell phone came out? The bag phone. You remember that? Some of you remember that. Walking around having to carry that thing around, the bag phone. Why not? Somebody asked the question, why not? Why shouldn't you be able to have a smartphone? Oh, man. You know, someone said that the difference between a cell phone and people is that cell phones are getting thinner and smarter. I didn't say it. Someone said it. I want to encourage you today to hang out with dreamers. Hang out with people that ask the question, why not? You know, you become the average of the three closest people to you. And you got to be careful about the three closest people to you because you will eventually become their average. And I believe that you should always have one person in your life that you can look to as a sincere mentor that you want to be just like them when you grow up. And someone that's a peer level that can sharpen you. That when you are running in that way, when they see things that are weak in your life, they're the ones that are not going to just give in to your weakness. They're going to say, no, you were born for more than that. And then also someone that's close to you, your three, that you need to be pouring into. Closely mentoring, pouring into. And that doesn't define all areas of your relationship, but it's important that you make sure that you hang out with dreamers and you're not the top tier in your group. Because otherwise, the people around you are going to be pulling you down. Hang out with dreamers, somebody that can look at your life and say, you know what? You were born for more than what you're walking in. You were made to dream. You were made to ask the question, why not? Why not? I want to break down DREAM, and we're going to, I don't know if this would be considered a true acronym, but we're going to break down the letters of DREAM this morning. And I want to take each letter and give you just something that I feel like is just important to this series. And number one, DREAM, I'm going to take the letter D, and I believe D stands for distinguished, because a dream will make you distinguished. A dream will distinguish you. It'll mark you. It'll make you different than other people. It'll sanctify you. Sanctify, by definition, means set apart for the Lord's use. It's set apart. You know, we take the term even holy. 1 Peter talks about be ye holy for I am holy. Four living creatures surround the throne of God day and night, night and day, crying out holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And that word holy comes from the Hebraic word kadesh. And kadesh doesn't mean without sin. Like we think the term holy or sanctified, and the first thing that comes to our mind is, well, that's without sin. But to say that God is without sin would almost be an insult because he can't even comprehend it. He's not the opposite of sin. Holy is not the opposite of sinful, right? Holy, by definition, kadesh, means other than. It means there is nothing on this planet or in the galaxies under the sun, moon, stars, the cosmos, that can even compare itself to you. So therefore, other than has no opposites because there's nothing that can be compared to it to actually be an opposite. And when he says, I want you to be holy, I want you to be so separate other than that the world can't compare you to anything. You're holy, you're other than, you're separate, you're distinguished. And when you have a dream, you become distinguished. And as a dreamer, you're going to have to be okay with not fitting in to normal. You're going to have to be okay with not being in the mold or accepted by everyone around you. Look at Joseph's life when we read this in Genesis 37. He had a dream and his brothers hated him for it. And he was okay with that. See, when you're a dreamer, you got to understand that the dream takes precedence over popularity. The dream takes precedence over sitting at the table with people that you're called to deliver, not necessarily sit in fellowship with. The dream will distinguish you. R stands for, I believe, release your potential. It'll release you. A dream will release your greatest capacity for potential. It'll release you to grow. I heard once that a certain number of CEOs that, I guess, I don't know where these statistics came up, but this is fascinating, that the number one fish that CEOs and corporations want in their office, in their fish tank, is a shark. It makes sense. Shark tank. Right? Certain sharks, however, only grow to the capacity of the environment that they're in. So you can take the same shark that maybe a CEO buys in his tank in his office or in his home, and that shark will only grow 8 to 12 inches. You take that same shark and put it in the ocean, that shark has the capacity to grow 8 feet. So you have to understand that when you're around dreamers and you're in a dreaming environment, that your growth is determined by the capacity of the tank that you're in. And this is why it's important to get in a dream environment, kind of like this. I like to call this a dreaming environment. Or when you get in a dreaming environment, it causes you to grow beyond your limitations. And you're not just being set up to the environment that you're in. You're growing because you have a larger environment in the spirit. And the Father wants you swimming with the rest of the fish in the ocean, not just with the guppies. Not just to be on display in someone's tank. You've got a dream to go somewhere. Come on, I don't want a bunch of people on display in a tank called the Summit. Come on, God's calling you to go somewhere. He's taking you places. And you've got to stretch your capacity bigger than the environment that you're in. E is encourage. A dream will encourage you. A dream will encourage you when you have one. You know, people that are depressed and discouraged are people without a dream. People that are depressed and people that are discouraged are people without a dream. Ashlyn messaged me an email maybe a month or so back about a study that she did at the University of Alberta on how people with depression oftentimes are people that are hopeless. The majority of time they find that people that struggle with depression have no hope. I can even relate that to hope. Hopelessness comes when you don't have a dream, when you don't have a set direction, when you don't have something in your future that you're looking to obtain. See, a dream will cause you to wake up different. It'll wire you different. It'll give you purpose in the morning when you get out of bed. You know, and I can attest to this just even being married to a dreamer, Nikki with worship, and how she gets up, she writes songs. It's her day off. Usually her Sunday, when we get home and we're done, she's messaging worship teams all across the board preparing for the next weekend. On Sunday night, preparing for the next week. Monday, gets up, writes music. All day Monday, she's in her office writing music. Why? Because the dream of a collective worship movement that touches the nations of the world gets her out of bed in the morning. It drives her. There's a different beat in her heart that drives her, and it's called a dream. It's a dream. It'll encourage you. And I'm telling you, the remedy for depression and hopelessness is find out what you were created for. Find out what God wired you for. Why are you here? A stands for attract. Dreamers have the ability to attract. They're attractive. It's like a spiritual magnet. People want to be around dreamers. Why? Because dreamers will bring out the best in you. Sometimes it's always not what you want to hear, because dreamers will tell you times when you're not living up to your potential, and they'll let you know that. And you've got to be okay with just saying, you know what, I'm not going to settle where I'm at, because God wants to take me higher. He wants me to elevate. I don't want to just be content. You know, this is great. We can even me in my life, I can sit here and say, you know what, let's just eat of the fruit of our labor. You know, we've got a church that's growing. We're thriving. 3 services, things happening, construction. No. I'm forcing myself to get around dreamers, other people that have broken through barriers and cracked revival in cities and regions. I'm getting around them and I'm asking them, show me how you live your life. I want to know how you tick. I want to know how you think. How do you plan your day? How do you organize your time? And see, I'm afraid that sometimes even in a charismatic movement, we become so spiritual that we forget the practical application of elementary things of discipline. Of discipline. Come on, I don't want to just lay in the floor all day
and know what the color purple represents and know what the color orange means and know how to interpret the number 12 and 14, but lazy. Come on, no, we need discipline that drives us, that gets us up in the morning and says, you know what, I'm going to do all that. I'm going to pray and I'm going to have a spiritual understanding to interpret the signs of the times, but I'm also going to get up. I'm going to exercise my body. I'm going to eat healthy because I've got a dream that I don't want to die prematurely. My kids need to walk this thing out. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be out of shape and lethargic. I want to take my dream by the horns and I want to grab it with everything in me and run after it. Come on, we need to also have practicalities in our life that get us going after our dream, and a dream will motivate you. A recent study showed that people that retire and have nothing to do from that point on went into a 3-year decline in their health. A 3-year decline. They had nothing that excited them anymore. They had nothing that motivated them. They had nothing that gave them drive. A recent study in Germany took rats, and they took two groups of rats, and they took a group of rats and put them in a box, and they began to feed this group of rats. And this group of rats had to do nothing for their food other than just receive it 3 times a day. And this group of rats just received it. They did nothing for it. Their minds weren't stimulated. They took another group of rats in another box, and they created a maze, every day a new maze, and they put the food on the other end of the maze. And the rats that had to go through a maze with a mind that was stimulated to obtain their food lived 6 years longer than the rats that just received their food every day without their brains being stimulated. See, purpose will keep you alive. It'll cause you to live longer. Some of you that are retired in the room here, listen, it's never too late. Ray Kroc was 54 years old when he left his office job and started a business, which is now called McDonald's, and it's on every continent, every country of the world, just about. Moses was 80 years old when God used him to go after his dream. Colonel Sanders was 65 years old when he started My God, glorified Kentucky Fried Chicken, or in my terms, KFC, Kingdom Fellowship Center. It's an apostolic blueprint. 65 years old. Come on, you're not too old to go after your dream. Come on, let me tell some of you older folks in the room something. You're not done. God's not through with you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm not done yet. God still has a dream for my future. I told the story a couple months ago about my grandmother. I went to see her, and it was so sad. I thought that we were about to lose my grandmother about a year ago. I was in Florida, and I sat with my grandmother, and maybe 8-9 months ago, and she was frail. It was last summer, I believe, and she's really frail, and she's, you know, 87 years old, and my grandfather had passed away about 5 years ago, and so slowly we've watched her just decline and just frail, and I've never seen her this way. Her mental state, she could hardly communicate or talk or even recognize people. It was really sad. I sat on her couch, and I remember just taking her by the hand. I remember weeping, just praying with her, and just asking God to strengthen her, because it just broke my heart. And so my cousin had two little babies, and they ended up taking a job in the area, and they moved in with my grandmother to look after her, because after Nikki and I moved out of Crestview and other family had moved, there just really wasn't anyone there to look after her. And so my cousin moved in with my grandmother and just to look after her. And just within a few short months, I called, and my grandmother answered the phone, and she said, "Hey, Christopher, how you doing, baby?" You know, a little sweet Southern sweet tea fried chicken accent. And I said, "Emama, how you doing?" And just had this full conversation with her like it was like 10 years ago. And I was so blown away. I called my aunt and I said, "What in the world happened to Emama?" I call her Emaw. I was born in Germany. I couldn't say Omaw when I came back to the States. And so Emaw is all I can get out. And she just adopted that name. And so I said, "What happened to Emama?" And they said, "You know what? She came alive when Kelly moved in with her." And I started to think about that, how she started to get up and have to cook breakfast for someone. How she had to look after the babies a little bit while Kelly was doing her business. And how a dream or a purpose will revitalize you and give you hope and give you something to get out of bed in the morning. And my grandmother completely transformed. And I just saw her again a few weeks ago and just getting better and better at 87 years old, going on walks, pushing a stroller down the street, cooking bacon and eggs every morning for the kids, because a dream will give you purpose in the morning. It'll revitalize you. Well, I want to tell you, God's not done with you yet. You may be retired. There's a dream that heaven has for you. I want to tell you a couple facts to remember in the life of a dreamer. Number one, there are certain times in your life that your circumstances will be inconsistent with your dream. There are certain times in your life that your circumstances will be inconsistent with your dream. Let me say it one more time. There are certain times in your life that your circumstances will be inconsistent with your dream. Joseph had plenty of circumstances that were inconsistent with his dream. Right off the get-go, right off the bat, 17 years old, had a coat of many colors, had a dream, and the first circumstance was his brothers hated him for it. The very people, one day later in life, God was going to use him to deliver, they hated him for it in the beginning. Joseph had some circumstances that were inconsistent with his dream. Number two, dreams demand integrity. Joseph taught us this. When he got around the desperate housewives of Egypt, Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce him. Woman was desperate. See, the dream creates an anointing, because the anointing on your life is to fulfill the dream, and the anointing becomes attractive. That's what I always tell people that are in ministry when they move in the anointing. It's fascinating to me how you can take the ugliest preachers on the planet, but they move in the anointing and these people fall with the most beautiful women. That would never happen outside the church, ever. Why? Because the anointing is attractive, and the enemy hates the anointing on your life. He'll do whatever he can. That's why I'm big on character. I'm big on integrity. Nikki and I, we don't ride together with the opposite sex. We don't meet alone. And why? Because I'm scared that I'm going to fall? Absolutely not. Am I scared that I don't trust my wife? Absolutely not. She trusts me. I trust her. But we create boundaries around our life that prevent the enemy from seduction. We've always done this. And people say, well, that's legalistic. Listen, Billy Graham did this his entire ministry. And nobody could ever say a word about the integrity of Billy Graham. You can never say a word about the integrity of Billy Graham. Why? Because he always created a lifestyle of integrity that said, you know what? I'm going to create boundaries and banks to the river so that way I don't stumble into a situation that even the enemy could accuse, even if it did not happen. There could be no accusation in my life because it will not happen. There could be no accusation in that woman's life because it will not happen. And I want to tell you, the dream demands this kind of integrity. It demands it. Culture will tell you, now that's extreme, brother. Maybe. But when I'm 86 years old, I'm going to still be married to the same wife. When I'm 86 years old, nobody's going to be able to say, yeah, they had loose stuff and accusations about them. No. When I'm 86 years old, the dream that demanded integrity and the safety nets around my life are going to make sure that I end this race well. And I want to challenge you to do the same in your life. I want to challenge you to do the same. Don't look at it as legalism. Look at it as integrity. See, Joseph taught us this. The enemy knows men are visual, just a fact. And the enemy will attempt to trap you men dreamers in this area. Men and women, they're so different, aren't they? Men are visual. Women like the connection of the heart. Long walks on the beach holding hands. Hours of communication, sipping coffee on the back porch early in the morning. Right? Flowers and cards and conversation. But Dr. Rutland said that men just want women to show up naked and with food. That's what Dr. Rutland said. If you have a problem with that, send him a message. He's a doctor. See, I want to say to you, watch yourself when you have a dream and protect it. Watch yourself when you have a dream and protect it. Be a guardian of the dream. Create room for accountability in your life, that you write the dream down, like Habakkuk said, make it plain upon your notepad, make it plain so that those that read it can run with it. Write it down, create accountability with it, with mothers and fathers, mentors, leaders, friends that can help you fulfill your dream, but also say, hey, you were born for more than what you're walking in right now. You're a dreamer. And I know that the destination that the Father wants to take you is going to require a level of integrity that you're not functioning in now. And so I want to challenge you to step up the integrity so that you can fulfill the dream. Number three, what others believe about you is never as important as what you believe about you. What others believe about you is never as important as what you believe about you. See, a lot of people believe a lot of things, but you need to believe in yourself. There are two reasons why dreams break down. Number one, people quit believing in God. And number two, people quit believing in themselves. Two reasons dreams break down and don't make it. People quit believing in God, and then people quit believing in themselves. What other people think about you is not relevant. What you think about you is the most important thing outside of how you see God. A.W. Tozer said, how a man sees God or how man thinks about God is the most important thought in that man's life. I'd like to follow up with A.W. Tozer and add to that and say, how man sees himself is the second most important thought of a person's life. Because if you believe in yourself, nothing can stop you. You believe in God and believe that God has empowered you, anointed you, equipped you, gave you the tools, the resources, the connections that you need to fulfill what he's called you to fulfill. Nothing can stop you in this life. Nothing. I don't care what haters say. I don't care what naysayers say. I don't care how much education you have or don't have. I don't care what kind of family environment you were brought up in, whether you came for money or you have nothing. How you see God and how you see yourself are the two most important things in your life. What others believe about you is never as important as what you believe about you. Number four, help others with their dream until your dream comes to pass. Help others with their dream until your dream comes to pass. Joseph shows us this. He helps the butler with his dream, and he helps the baker with his dream, and he helps Potiphar with his dream. And my question this morning is, who are you helping in their dream? Who are you resourcing? Who are you sowing into? Who are you putting and investing time and energy into? Because it matters. How you serve someone else's dream is actually seed in the spirit for how God will release your people into your dream and to help fund yours. We shared this last week. If you don't have a dream, find somebody with one and help serve theirs. Nikki can get up and even share to this. She'll tell you, as powerful and anointed as my wife is, she will tell you, she didn't have a dream for her life. She knew always from a teenager that when she married her husband would be the dreamer, even though I know Nikki says that, she's full of dreams, she's pregnant with it, but it's very tied to me, and I'm tied to her in that same manner. We're tied in this thing together, but Nikki would always say this, I didn't really know what my life would do outside of leading worship, but when I knew that when I married the man I was supposed to marry, he would carry the dream for our future. And it was true, because I was pregnant with it. I mean, just full of vision and life and things that God was saying to us. And I'll never forget the time that I was getting dressed one morning, and this was back in about 2006, and I asked Nikki the question, 2007. I said, what do you think life would be like if we moved to Canada one day and started our ministry there? And Nikki said, what? No, absolutely not. I died to that. I'm in Florida, palm trees, beach, hot weather. What God's doing here, this is what we're doing. And I just said, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. What if? What if? Why not? And I started asking the question, why not? Way back then. And then over time, as this thing snowballed, all of a sudden she started to get pregnant with this. And I did over the years. And now here we are in 2019, living out just a simple why not in a bathroom back in 2007. Why not? Helping others all during that season when it wasn't time for us to emerge during the early years of our ministry. We spent a lot of years serving others. serving their vision, serving their house. I remember when God connected Nikki and I with Bishop Kyle Searcy in Montgomery, Alabama, and I was ordained into the ministry. I was preaching, traveling, and we got hired by Fresh Anointing in Montgomery, Alabama, and we moved to Fresh Anointing, and Bishop Searcy created some jobs for us, and this was our church planting preparation days. We were moving out of the ministry to the Hurting and Broken and the Teen Challenge type ministry that we were in for 3.5 years, and God was preparing our heart for apostolic church planting. So he connected us with some legitimate apostles, men like Dutch Sheets and Damon Thompson and Kyle Searcy, that we began to be mentored by over these next few years and season in our life. And I'll never forget when we moved there, Bishop Kyle, he hired Nikki as the receptionist, and she basically was doing what Rebecca is doing now for Nikki. And that's what Nikki did back in those days, and they appointed me as the apostle over janitorial services. And so Bishop Kyle made this job for me. He said, you know what, we don't really have a spot, but I can create, we need help cleaning the building. And so their sanctuary, I don't know, their church, a few thousand people, their auditorium was probably 40,000 square feet, just a massive monstrosity of a church. And every day I would go in there and vacuum that sanctuary, clean toilets. I'd go take my wife's trash out of her trash can and all the pastors, and I'd clean up, basically. And I'll never forget, this is in the season where God was still crushing identity in ministry. Hadn't happened yet, but I could remember still feeling like the important prominence that I was looking for and an identity in what I did in ministry. And I'll never forget this conference right when we moved there. Eddie James was there, this whole worship crew, and several other speakers. I don't remember exactly who was all there, but there was this worship conference. We had just moved there. And at the end of the service, Bishop Kyle gets up and he's closing the service. He says, I want to introduce somebody real special to me. Chris Mathis, why don't you come up here? And I, my heart leapt and my chest stuck out a little bit. And I came strutting up there in front of 3,000 people. And in the back of my mind, I would have never told you this, but in my subconscious, I would have thought, now's my time to shine, you know. And just God was just, it was gross, just gross. And Bishop Kyle put his arm around me and he said, this is Chris. And I'm thinking he's getting ready to announce to the world, you know, we're on television, we've got this big conference that he's about to announce to the world that I am here to be sent out as a church planter, you know. And he put his arm around me and said, he said, Chris is the new janitor. And we need some help, and he's going to need some help cleaning up tonight. And so if you can see him after the service, he'll be right over here. God had me in the wine press of crushing, of hiddenness, of identity being just stripped. And I can remember my heart sinking like, oh. But it was in those days of helping people with their dream that God was doing something when I was vacuuming that sanctuary. It was in those days when I was spraying down toilets. And it wasn't like this building here. It wasn't just, five toilets in the bathroom. There was about 25 of them in several bathrooms all over the building, spraying down toilets and cleaning. And God was doing something in a boy at those ages, that age in his mid-20s, and he was preparing me for something that was not built by identity or personality. It was the crushing in the wine press that says, I'm not going to use you to have an identity in this. I want to teach you servanthood. I want to teach you process. I want to teach you how to serve someone else before I give you anything of your own. And for years we did this, and before we ever were sent to do what now is the summit, God gave us ours, but there was a price to pay. It was resourcing and time and energy and blood and sweat and tears and humbling and purging and being crushed, dying to mine. And I want to tell you, find someone with a dream and help get your hands dirty to help them fulfill theirs. And in the process, God will start dropping the DNA of heaven. Heaven's dream for your own. Heaven's dream for your own. I can tell you, a lot of people here, they don't know the journey that a lot of these leaders have had. Of the years of them sitting back, waiting, serving, before they ever merge. And I'm concerned at the church's speed of emergence. The speed of emergence of ministers today and how fast you can just launch a ministry and start a Facebook Live and be all over the world today. And if you have a little bit of nuggets and revelation, people will share it and create a following. And you can do that quick without ever having to come underneath the hand of legitimate authority that is not just there to bless you, it's also there to put pressure on you and tell you no. There was a lot of years, a man right here that's older than I am had to hear no before Hope Farms was ever emerged. And you know what? People look at Pastor Sion, I'm going to use you guys as an example, pick on you guys. They look at Pastor Sion Holly and they say, man, look at how God's blessing them. But I'm going to tell you something. There is very few people that I've seen walk in the level of honor and submission and service that those two walk in. And I know there's a lot of people that do, but that has been very close in my world. And Sy is one of my best friends, and he'll tell you, he's never once called me Chris. Isn't that crazy? He's never once called me, and I've never told that. I don't put a demand that people have to call me pastor. That's not what we do. But he just chooses to always refer to me as pastor. And I'm his best friend. It's weird sometimes, because I'm like, bro, you don't have to do that. Like, we'll be at the hunting camp, Pastor Chris. We're at the hunting camp, but like, you know. And it can be weird and uncomfortable for me, but the Lord has put certain levels of conviction on him and on Holly to maintain that connectivity. And I'm not saying that so because I need that. I don't. You can call me Chris. You can call me Christopher. I don't really care. But for them, they've just had that conviction. And I think it goes to show the level of honor and service to something that was not theirs, and now their ministry is blown up, and just God's using it, and it's touching this nation, and it's going to touch the nations of the earth. And there's other people in this room that DNA of heaven that God is giving you is going to happen in the hidden place of service. And it's not just here. I'm not saying these things to get this to happen here. This is your employer, the person you work for, the person that you can't get along with in the office that has a little bit of seniority than you do, that gets on your nerves, doing something nice for them and blessing them and honoring them. Heaven sees that and heaven rejoices and says, I've got to shine favor on a person like that. Help others with their dream and yours will come to pass. Number five, my last one. I don't know what we're doing for worship. Are we, you guys want to come up? Yeah. Number five, I touched on this a little bit already, but dreamers are disciplined. They're disciplined. Dreamers are disciplined. They have the ability to say no to wants of the flesh and temporary desires. You know, excuses are the crutches of the weak. And I like this statement. Stephen Furtick said this: consistency separates the winners and the wannabes. And I really like that. Consistency separates the winners and the wannabes. And I'm asking God not to give us more prophetic revelation. I want that. Yeah, we want that. But I'm also asking the Father to give this church, this family, discipline. Discipline to pray, discipline to fast, discipline to say no to the appetites of the flesh when the dream is calling us. Discipline to, not that you don't have to have fun, and listen, I have fun. Nikki and I, we party, we have fun. We live life, and we live it to the fullest. But also, we know how to turn that switch off when it's time to turn it off and keep that in its category of fun, but also say, you know what? Our life is not just built for entertainment. It's built to see deliverance for a nation. God sent me here not to just have fun and enjoy the fruit of the land. Yeah, that's a perk. That's a plus. But at the end of the day, there's tunnel vision because we're here to see deliverance and freedom for a people that need freedom from their bondage and freedom from darkness. And it requires discipline, self-denying, able to say no. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone wants to be my follower, he has to first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. But if your soulish appetites always drive you, you're never going to fulfill your dream. This is even financially. There's some people in this church that carry the anointing to release finances. I can call you all out right now. Braden Bulmer's one. Chris Frost is one. I can call out more. Darren is one. Ken and Jane. So many others in this room that are called to steward great portions of wealth and resource. And if any of those names, and there's so many more that I could pull those people and you sit down with them, they'll tell you that managing a budget and the area of finances requires a lot of no to temporary wants to obtain the goals that God has intended us to obtain. And they'll tell you so that it can be a blessing to others. And hopefully you guys are all okay with me sharing your names all over the live web. It happened. It's already done. Can't take it back. But I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about that area where your dream will not be fulfilled if you don't have self-discipline in the area of finances. God wants to finance your dream. But if you can't say no to those little wants every day and say, you know what, I'm going to set aside that money because there's a dream. There's something bigger than my craving right now that I've got to obtain. There's something bigger. Something bigger. Dreamers are disciplined. Dreamers wake up in the morning with discipline. You know, this is really the beginning of the year. I shared back in January how the Lord started to really convict me about my health, how much sugar I was eating. I'm still not arrived to where I want to be because, my goodness, a bag of stinking Sour Patch Kids is my weakness. It's my downfall, man. I was driving with Cy in his truck the other day, and he had a bag of them, and I just sat there. And after about 5 minutes, I realized I ate his whole bag. I said, man, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't even know what happened. I don't even know what took over me. I just couldn't stop. But back in January, that's really not a great way to start off my point. Back in January, the Lord did start really speaking to me about my health and how heart disease has been in my family on my dad's side, and how, you know, my grandfather, he had several major heart attacks and when he was just in his 50s and almost died. He actually did die. They had to bring him back, and he was overweight and eating all that Kingdom Fellowship Center food, I guess. The Lord started to talk to me about my kids and how I need to be present for them and my grandkids one day. He started to show me this picture of really being able to see the long haul and how it means nothing if you can wake up and pray in the Spirit and study your Bible, but you don't have the health intact to be able to live out the mandate that God put on your life. And so the Father started to show me how areas in my life needed to change. How I was eating, my eating habits, my exercise habits, and how I needed to discipline myself. And this is what he showed me. He said, how can you believe God for transformation in a city when you can't even transform your own body? How can you really believe God to transform a city when you can't say no and you can't get up and exercise for 30 minutes a day? And so I started putting in these patterns I wasn't going to say this, but I need to say it. Some of you need to hear this because it's a touchy subject for some people. But listen, we need to hear this. Your kids, your life is important for your kids to be present. And if you're sitting on the couch eating Doritos all day and not exercising, and listen, the enemy, he may not be able to take you out in other areas, but your health, he will. Listen, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and in health. It should be illegal for us to pray for divine healing if we don't walk in divine health. We love the healing meeting, but he gave us the temple of the Holy Spirit to take care of. He wants to dwell in, to walk in, and live in. And this temple is holy, and we need to take care of it. If I came in here and I threw Cheetos all over the sanctuary and just sprayed it with just junk and garbage, many people would be offended. We need to look at this temple, which is the real temple, with more offense. With what we put in our body. I wasn't planning to go into a health seminar this morning, but I just need to say this. Dreamers are disciplined. Dreamers are disciplined. Amen? Amen? Awesome. I want to give you intercessors some room this morning. Do you guys feel anything that needs to happen before we close? In mornings and prayer like this, I want to be sensitive to that. I don't want to miss anything. I'm leaning on a couple of you here. No? You good? Jane, you good? Well, why don't we stand to our feet and just pray in the Spirit for a few minutes.
Ya roto ye teriri bi ando roto yo. Hila mayendo lo moyo to roto ye teriri arroyo. Yo roto yo roto yo robo yo to roto yo to ro. Hila maya tarete ama maya tararamaye.
Father, we're asking for dreams to be unlocked. Purpose, destinies. The dream of heaven, God, I pray that you would unlock it this morning. God, those that are searching it out, those that are looking for it. God, I pray for business ideas, leaders that are in this room, business entrepreneurs, that you would unlock the capacity to dream and ask the question, why not? Why not? Why not? Father, unlock the dream realm. Lord, even the dreams in the night. Lord, as Joseph was shown his entire future through a nighttime dream. God, unlock those dreams. Visitations. Lord, we pray that for the angelic hosts of heaven to begin to move in this room and move in this environment, that when people walk in here, that it drops the dream in their heart. When some of you need to hear this, it's not just an idea. It didn't just come from somewhere. It came from heaven. It was planted in your mind in the form of a thought because you have the mind of Christ. That thought of expansion, that thought of another arm to your company, that thought of starting a business, that thought of what now in retirement, I've got the time and I've got the energy. That thought is from heaven. I hear the whisper of heaven saying, go for it. 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 Father, I pray that you would cause this family, even in this building, to be an incubator in the Spirit for the dream to be birthed. An incubator. But I just see this as an incubator when people come in here that they get pregnant with the dream and that the dream begins to grow in a safe environment. God, and I ask that for brothers and sisters in this room, that when they hear the dream and it sounds big and crazy, that we become the wind in each other's sails. The wind in the sails of our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hallelujah. If you're a business owner or you feel called to start a business, I want you to come down here. If you're a business owner or you have an idea and you haven't been able to cause it to come to pass yet, a business owner, or you know it's a business idea that God has given you and you're called to business, I want you to come down here. I want to pray for you this morning. Would you look at this? You guys spread out this way if you can, just to make some room. Look at all these business owners. Just come on up, come on up, come on up. I love it. I love it. I believe God, I believe, bring it down just for me for a minute. I believe that the Father entrusts the economy of the world to His children, and that we have a part to play in actually releasing kingdom economics to the environment, the city, to the region that we live in and dwell in. And that's a call just as important as this call right here on this pulpit. Just as important. Honestly, may even be more. I believe that there's fivefold graces, pastors, apostles, evangelists, teachers, prophets, that is right here, that you guys function in the area of business. And what I want to pray for is that the Father would really identify to you a fivefold grace, if you have it, because everybody doesn't have a fivefold grace in business, and that's okay. But if you have it, that the Father would highlight it. And if you don't, you are all called to this. It's a calling to steward economy and wealth, to employ people, and that your business, even if you don't have one employee yet, you're called to have them. I believe that. I don't believe the Father has called you to start something just to sustain you. Business owners see stuff and see in a perspective that you're called to help sustain others as an employer. Amen? So, Father, why don't you guys just lift your hands? Father, I pray right now over every business owner, those that are called to steward businesses, those that are called to start businesses and new arms to their company, God. Lord, that you would give them the dream to think bigger. I pray for a capacity to think bigger than you've ever thought before. Think bigger, dream bigger. God, I ask, Father, for the capacity to be stretched far beyond, Lord, the areas that they've been thinking. Expand the limitations. Let them this year, at the end of 2019 and the start of 2020, cross the threshold of thinking that expansion would come by this time next year, that their business would not even look the same. Father, and I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you in Jesus' name. Increase, expansion, favor, and connections. Open doors of opportunity. I pray for those that are at this altar to be at the right place at the right time in front of the right people. The right connection, Lord, to take them to the next level. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, church, can you guys stretch your hands and pray also for these leaders, these business leaders? And just let's ask God to bless their socks off. That expansion would be able to take place. That even those in this church body that need employment, that they wouldn't have to look to outside companies, that even this house could employ their own. Wouldn't that be awesome? Father, we just pray right now. Come on, help me. Open your mouth. Just pray for them. Pray for them. However the Spirit of God leads you. Let them feel the strength of the prayers of the family at the summit. God, bring the right investors. Bring the right investors, the right silent partners. Bring the right ones that are needed, Lord, to partner with your people, Father, to take them to the next level. We thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.